Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam. You are listening to the Asma'ul Nabi program with myself, Muhammad Bam, and online I have is Marana Muhammad Ali from Middleburg. Marana, Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Marana, how are you this cold morning?
Alhamdulillah, lovely morning. The last kick of winter before it leaves us.
It must come and greet us before it goes.
Before it goes.
What's up? We ready? We can continue.
We are ready. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wallahu ghafurur rahim. Sadaqallahul azim. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue showering us with His innumerable, countless blessings. Those that we know of and those which we don't know of, those that we can see and those that we can't see. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to keep us steadfast on His obedience and not to deprive us of any of His good blessings because of our own forgetfulness, our own weakness and our own shortcomings. Alhamdulillah, we are discussing the beautiful names and attributes of Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam under the program Asma'un Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we are fortunate that Allah Ta'ala has assigned us and included us in the Ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because every aspect of our life is covered by His noble Sunnah and by His noble example. Every name that we discuss of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is an entire highway and a pathway for us to follow, in which there can only be goodness for us. The name that we are discussing at this point in time is Al-Imam, the leader, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a leader, then he is a leader in different capacities. Currently we are discussing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a leader, as a statesman, as a ruler. And being a leader and a statesman of par excellence, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has set such a beautiful example for all leaders to follow. And he has left behind such methods of ruling that no other leader has ever left and no other leader will ever be able to leave. And whoever follows this particular model of leadership as left behind by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will lead his people towards salvation and good fortune. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a ruler and as a statesman after he came to Madinah Munawwara is what we discussed last week, and we looked at the various ways in his example as to how in a very short period of time he consolidated the Islamic State and the Islamic government there and took care of the various challenges that the people of Madinah were facing before. For example, the Aws and the Khazraj and their own difficulties, then the presence of the Jews. And when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, in addition, he had to now face another challenge of attacks from the enemy upon Medina, which was not attacked before, but now it became a target because the enemy is found that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there, and it would be an opportunity for them to eliminate him. So that was an additional challenge he had to put up. But in a short period of time, and no leader in the entire world is able to prove and put such an example as to how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam united the people of Medina, removed the various challenges, and faced up to the other challenges. In the ayat that we recited today, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Say, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me. Now this ayat normally is recited in a topic which is chosen, for example, the following of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the importance of following the sunnah. So we'll find that normally this ayat is used as substantiation, the importance of following the sunnah. Or this ayat is also used in substantiation of inculcating the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third thing this ayat is used in is with regard to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is a fourth aspect also in this ayat that brings about the substantiation of the topic and the discussion, and that is the leadership of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular verse has drawn our attention to the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the leader. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the leader. And Allah ta'ala has conferred leadership on him through one particular word, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Tell the people they must follow me. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Say, if you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. And follow me. So we spoke about following the sunnah. But here there's another subtle point to keep in mind. You only follow the one who is a leader. And in this verse, by Allah Ta'ala instructing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to instruct us to follow him, Allah Ta'ala is telling us that you follow this man because this man is your leader. So in this verse, Allah Ta'ala has actually conferred leadership upon Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we discussed various leadership qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam last week. We analyzed the different aspects. This week we will look at one very important aspect, and that is that any leader, apart from ensuring unity in his constituency or in his kingdom or whatever he is ruling over in his state, he has to necessarily ensure that the people under him are living a comfortable life in as far as their livelihood and their daily security in this regard is concerned. In other words, we are talking about the economic field. Because if a person takes over, and if he ensures, for example, a crime-free state or a crime-free society, but if his people are suffering starvation and they are being deprived of the minimum requirement for livelihood, then we can say that that particular area and that particular society is not complete. This man has not completed his job. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took over Medina, while he took care of all the other political aspects as we have spoken about in the past, he also addressed the economic requirements. And in the economic field, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us leadership lessons whereby he guaranteed livelihood for members of the state, for the members that were in his state. And he brought about such opportunities that were equal for everyone, so that they were able to earn their living according to their ability. We find there are lots of examples, inshallah, if we have time, we'll go into it at another occasion, but just here to show that whoever was suffering from any kind of need, poverty and want, people did not have opportunities, people that were oppressed, all those things Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and addressed, and through his teachings, these particular equal opportunities came about. And people were then able to earn according to their training, according to their qualifications. And he made it the moral and legal duty of the state to guarantee a minimum and a reasonable standard of living for all those people that were the citizens living in that state. So, that is why there was never a situation in Medina Munawwara where the public rose up and decided that they are going to protest because they are suffering from want. Yes, they were the poorer class, they were the more richer class. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of doing things. But there was no one that was deprived of an opportunity to earn a livelihood. To such an extent, even if beggars came, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them, but immediately he empowered them in one way or the other. And if somebody was bringing somebody down in a manner that was oppressive, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought it to the attention that this is not the correct way of doing things. And we can see it around us today. Wherever in any country or even in our own country, there are continuous uprisings, there are protest marches, and there are a whole lot of strikes taking place on a regular basis that sometimes we know where they end up. We haven't forgotten what happened in Marikana and various others that are reported and are not reported. On a regular basis, we find that people are rising because there are certain aspects relating to their livelihood that are not addressed. We see that happening all the time. In any society, when these things are addressed, then we will find that the members of that society also become obedient citizens. So one of the things that is a condition which we can say for the state to ensure and to have obedience to it is to make sure that the less fortunate members of the state are taken care of. And we find in this regard, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave great leadership. So as an economic leader, as a leader in the economic field who ensured that opportunities exist for everyone to earn a livelihood, are also one of the traits of the leader, al-Imam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one very important thing is that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did all these things as a leader, these various concepts, these universal concepts that are also being adopted by kuffar, by non-Muslims, by other people, they might not mention it, but these concepts are found in their systems. It is directly from Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And most importantly, he didn't do these things, you know, for himself to gain like, to gain kind of glory, you know, that it is for his personal status, for his own reputation, for his own benefit. No, he did all this for the benefit of mankind, for the welfare of mankind, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established an empire in reality. He didn't take away from somebody. He didn't have war with somebody to take it away. No, he entered an area where he was welcomed and he put such precepts and concepts and teachings and models in place that this entire empire was built upon that. And the best thing is that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this dunya, he did not say that it must stay in his family. Nowhere. He did not leave it for his family. You know, in many places where there is leadership, we will find that the leadership structure is in such a manner that leadership and succession will pass from one member to another member, whether it's a monarchy or whether it's a dynasty or whatever it might be. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do all these things, setting up a stable empire based on sound economic principles and political principles so that his family can benefit directly. He did not leave it for his descendants as any other person would have done, that I put so much of sweat and blood in it, therefore now it must carry on in my family. He done it for the ummah, he done it for the people, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, till the day of Qiyamah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left a system that once he leaves this dunya, then through mutual discussion and consultation through shura, the people will appoint a suitable leader. There was no condition that it must stay, you know, in the royal family, as we'll say, in his family. No, he did not say such a thing. It is not found. And if somebody distorts certain words in hadith to try and attribute these things to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, well, that is their problem. But the fact of the matter is, there's no hadith, there's no ayat of the Quran specifically telling us, because it would make Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam look like a very insincere person, na'udhu billah. It will make him look like a person that was concerned only with his own self and with his own family, that this whole kingdom now becomes a family business and for family interest. And we know in those countries where there are monarchies and that, how the family runs it like a tight ship. No one else is allowed to get in, and the stipends and all the salaries and all the contracts and everything else that happens only goes to a selected few. And others, the common people, are deprived. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not put that kind of a system in place. Not for anybody. He put this system in place for the entire ummah, for mankind to benefit. So which he proved. This is leadership qualities again. That he was far above kind of personal glory, personal gain. And he did it all for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very, what is very interesting to take note of also is how the unbiased kuffar scholars who who have made a study of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's method of ruling and his statesman qualities and attributes have made such beautiful remarks. Alhamdulillah, if it comes, you know, from a believer, then it is fine. But, you know, the other one is that if it comes from the enemy, then that particular evidence and testimony in your favor is a very, very effective one. So we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, his system of leadership and statesmanship has been lauded by Sir William Irving in his book, Life of Muhammad. He has summed up some of the exceptional qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in as far as leadership is concerned, there whereby he says that he has left this for the benefit of mankind. And he asks his question, he asks this question, that why did he do it? Why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put into place this particular thing? Was it for his own personal wealth that he wanted to accumulate and amass so that his children can benefit? He did not need that. Sir William Irving says, no, because he was married to Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. He himself was a very good business person, and he worked with Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she had, alhamdulillah, enough wealth. So he did not have that kind of need for any kind of wealth, you know. Neither did he do it for any distinction that he wanted to be standing out, you know, to be a popular person. Alhamdulillah, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood in his entire community, he was already put on a pedestal. The people respected him. The people knew him. They called him by the most beautiful titles of As-Sadiq and Al-Amin, which are the most integral qualities of somebody who wants to be a leader. To be honest, to be truthful, and to be trustworthy. To be able to run a country with total transparency, not to be involved in corruption and unseen deals, hidden deals and contracts to friends, jobs for pals, and tenders and debt that goes out to family members and to friends who give you a dawat every Tuesday afternoon. No, my respected friends and brothers and listeners, it is not the leadership quality. It is not a leadership quality. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have to do any of those things. Whatever he did was because he was already a leader chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he did not do this to gain any kind of personal distinction and popularity. Like we say, he was regarded as an intelligent person, as a trustworthy person by none other than the tribe of the Quraysh, alhamdulillah. And he was granted such an honor. Also, we must remember that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not in search of any kind of power. He did not need power. Because the family that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came already was very powerful. The Bani Hashim were involved in many highly placed tasks related to the running of the Kaaba and the Haram itself. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being a member of the family, could have easily risen through that particular structure to the highest level of authority because his family was involved. His immediate family was involved in important issues relating to the running of the Kaaba and of Makkah itself. So we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do any of these things for these reasons that have been mentioned. And what we are doing here is that when a person wants to be a leader, then he has to be above, you know, looking at personal wealth. You know, what salary is this president and people in high places in parliament and ever they get? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do that. He was above the feelings of personal glory. He was above the desire for power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a leader already because he was to leave through his examples an example for those people that are coming after him. That this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you and this is how you go about getting the pleasure and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had other opportunities of getting wealth. We know the story we mentioned 2 or 3 weeks ago, where the leaders of the Quraysh came and offered him the greatest of wealth and the highest of position and the most beautiful women. He did not accept any of those things, because if he wanted, he could have got it. And in a way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, apart from the offer that was made to him, he had other opportunities whereby he could have done these things. But he sacrificed all these things, and he placed and positioned himself by accepting the mission of prophethood and carrying it out in such a manner that he became the target of ridicule and of scorn and of enmity and of exile, and all these things came upon him, himself and his family. But he did not let the object go away from him. He had to lead mankind, and he had to carry on regardless of what threats came his way, regardless of what favors and bribes were placed in front of him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was called a liar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was called an imposter. He was called a madman. He was called a magician. He allowed all those things because he did not bother about these things. He didn't care what the people thought about him. He had to put a message, and he had to lead his people and leave behind such a legacy of leadership. So the only thing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried about was I'la kalimatullah, that in the process of his struggles and death, if the word and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be elevated. So if he was looking for domination of anything, it was not himself, it was the domination of the deen of Allah. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا, that the word and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be elevated. Not himself, not that he wants to be enriched in any way, not that he was looking for any kind of power or popularity or any other kind of worldly gain. No, nothing of those things. Subhanallah. And also we must remember that in the process of the mission that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried out, at no point in time did he do anything to enrich himself, whether the spoils of war came his way. We know at one point the amount of wealth that was thrown at the feet of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the various victories on the battle fronts, we find that all that was there, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam owned nothing. He spent everything on those people that were poor. So we know the famous hadith of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that 2 months used to pass in this way, that the fire was not lit in the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is this? This is what leadership is about. It was never about himself. It was never about enriching himself. He was undergoing this kind of difficulty in his own home, where there was no food. One hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says that there was a time where 50 days had passed, me and Bilal had nothing to eat except that what could fit beneath the armpit of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So from there also we learn that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam underwent a great amount of personal sacrifice. And this is what leadership is about. Leadership is not about, getting your, lining your own pockets and setting up your own nest. No, nothing like that. And one very important thing, like you mentioned when you spoke about the economic empowerment that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had actually granted the people. In there, we find that he had foremost right in front of him the lot of the poor. And he made it clear that he will not allow himself to become enriched, and he will always be among the poor. The very famous dua, which we always hear, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allahumma ahyini miskina, O Allah, let me live as a poor man. Wa amitni miskina, let me die as a poor man. Wahshurni fi zumratil masakin, and O Allah, raise me up on the day of Qiyamah from among the poor people. So from here we learn that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had in front of him the lot of the poor, and he was always worried about raising them. As far as the rich were concerned, not that he hated them, he directed them how to use and channelize their wealth in the correct ways. But when it came to the poor, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave specific attention to their lot, because if that segment of society is not taken care of, then as a leader, a person has failed. In fact, he has oppressed his people. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was above that. So the other quality which we will discuss, inshallah, is the compassion that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for everybody, but specifically as a leader towards those people that were the downtrodden. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa ma'alayna illa al-balagh. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.